You want to follow with me? I'm going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. In your tablets or in your phone or in your Bible. Ecclesiastes, if you're new to Trinity and haven't been here this summer, that's right. It's what we've been doing all summer, and you'll find it right after the book of Proverbs. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I'm going to just read the first 8 verses. Send your bread on the surface of the water, for after many days you may find it. Give a portion to 7 or even to 8, for you don't know what disaster may happen on earth. If the clouds are full, they'll pour out rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or the north, the place where the tree falls, there it'll lie. One who watches the wind will not sow, and the one who looks at the clouds will not reap. Just as you do not know the path of the wind or how bones develop in the womb of a pregnant woman, so also you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not let your hands rest, because you do not know which will succeed, whether one or the other, or if both of them will be equally good. Light is sweet, and it is pleasing for the eyes to see the sun. Indeed, if someone lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, and let him remember the days of darkness, since they will be many. All that comes is futile. Word of the Lord. So let me ask you a question this morning. Are you a risk taker? Are you a risk taker? You leave your job to head somewhere, let's say to Charlotte, North Carolina. You go? Are you a risk taker? You're invited to a wedding reception, and it's at an Asian restaurant, and one of the delicacies there is chicken brain. You eat it? How about every time the stock market goes up and down, do you switch your money? Do you hide it? Do you take it out and put it into a blanket? Are you a risk taker? What if we asked 25 families from Trinity to go and help plant a church, 20 miles from here? You leave the security of this place right here and you go. Are you willing to take that risk? Are you a risk taker? How about you as a parent? Do you help your kids take risks? Your daughter wants to take up soccer, and she's afraid whether she's going to make the team or not, or look foolish. Do you let her go play soccer? Or your son has some aspirations for some sort of career, and he wants to go to a private college. Do you encourage that? How do you approach life and its challenges and its opportunities? Are you a risk taker? What's risk? One definition of risk is anything when the outcome is uncertain. That's pretty much everything. Do you play it safe or do you take the risk? We've been in this book called Ecclesiastes all summer long. We titled it Riddle Me This, The Vapor. It's a riddle. In the translation I've been using, the Christian Standard Bible, they use the word futile. You hear it over and over and over again. The word literally is hevel, is the Hebrew word. It just means vapor. And it means whenever you try to grasp life and its meaning, you can't. You can't grab it. You can't get it. There's this lack of certainty in any part of life. Wow. And so here comes risk. So when it comes to making investments, when it comes to taking risks, there's this fear of loss, this fear of insecurity, this fear of uncertainty that pretty much colors many people's lives. And so it's kind of common, isn't it, to live a life that is risk averse, boring, cautious. I don't know if it's true, but there's the old story of a sign in the early 20th century in Alaska, for the roads were not paved and they were supposedly all made of mud. And so when it would rain, the roads would get sort of ridged and things. And the story goes that there was a sign that says, choose your rut carefully. You'll be in it for the next 75 miles. You ever feel that way in your life? This morning, we're going to hear words about risk. And yet, the writer of Ecclesiastes is going to try to compel us, still with risk, to go hard after life, to live wisely, to live largely on the stage that God places you. And so with these verses in front of us, I ask you one more time. Are you a risk taker? This morning, Koheleth, he's the writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon's title there, three things he's going to tell us. Invest, gauge vigorously. See those on the screen behind me. Invest wisely. Observe carefully. Engage vigorously. And if you read between these lines, he's sort of telling us, don't let fear be your MO of life. Okay, here we go. First one. He's going to tell us to invest wisely. And this is the investing of your life, of your gifts, of your money, of your talents, of your abilities. Here's how he begins it. Verse 1 of Ecclesiastes 11. Send your bread on the surface of the water, for after many days you may find it. Send your bread on the surface of the water. Throw it out there. If you have money, share it. Invest it. If you have time, give it. Serve others. If you have talents, use them. Throw them out there. If you have experience, don't keep it to yourself. Throw your bread on the surface of the water. That which you have, that which is valuable, don't hoard it. Don't keep it to yourself. Throw it out. Send it out. Why? Because I will be guaranteed if I invest it, I will get a wonderful return. Well, look at the second half of that verse. For after many days, you might find it. Remember, risk is not about guarantee. Risk is about uncertainty. This book is not about anything if it's not about uncertainty. Throw your bread on the waters. What is he saying? Don't wait for life to come to you. Invest your life, invest your stuff, invest yourself, even though there might be a risk. One of our elders, Randy, who for many, many years owned Verdi's Market, named after his last name, he's a bread maker. And so he could have just stayed comfortable right here in the United States, but he decided that the people in Haiti, in the name of Christ, needed a bakery or two. And so several times, he didn't wait for life to come to him. He went down to Haiti. He built a bakery. He helped teach them how to bake bread for their own income, and all in the name of Christ. But that's what throwing your bread on the water is. It's not waiting for life to come to you. Now watch how it's invest wisely. Listen to verse 2. Give a portion to 7 or to 8. For you don't know when disaster may happen on the earth. Give a portion to 7 or to 8. What do we say in our modern vernacular? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Diversify. And if you're talking about investments, diversify. Make sure there's a diversity of your investments. I mean, if we are talking about stocks, make sure they're not all in technology. Remember some years ago when they were all in technology and it crashed? Diversify. That's the wisdom here. Minimize your risks. Diversify your efforts. That's for all of us. Now, our tendency is to always go in one line only, right? That all of your money is here. Or you only teach your child tennis. By the way, we've been watching our 10-year-old all week long. I'm tired. the other day, actually several times this week, I was out teaching her how to play tennis, and she's actually getting really good. Got a really good backhand. And it just dawned on me, this has nothing to do with the message, but you're my friend, so I share you this. As I was teaching her tennis, I've been teaching tennis since I was in college. 3 generations marriage. She did pretty well. Then my daughter, she played lettered on the high school team. And now my granddaughter's very cool. Anyway, but if you only teach one thing, that's not diversity. I mean, if you have little kids, you ought to be teaching them tennis and piano and horseback riding or whatever you choose. But so that something might stick, because the possibility there is of failure. When you try some things, notice this thing, you are taking a risk. Not everything you try will pan out. Throw your bread on the water. After many days, you might find it, you might not. You don't know what disaster might happen on the earth. So diversify. They might not all pan out, but that's okay. That's why you diversify your efforts, your talents, your abilities. Some will work really well. Some won't work well at all. The ones that work well, yes. The ones that don't, well, maybe they'll teach you about yourself or about life or help grow you up. Invest wisely. Here's what I think he's saying. Don't wait passively for life to come to you. There will always be risks. Invest your time, your talent, your money, yourself, but invest them patiently. After many days, you may find it. Invest patiently. Invest diversely. Invest wisely. You're a risk taker? You keep everything right here. Invest wisely. Secondly, he continues on. Now observe carefully, verse 3. If the clouds are full, they will pour out rain on the earth, especially in Lake County last Friday. Was that insane or what? My grandson was 18. I went to Moe. When we were there, Noah came in for a burrito. And it just poured and poured. It was crazy. Wednesday too, by the way. We still do our Wednesdays in the evening from 6 to 8, and we were all set to do it this Wednesday. 80-mile-an-hour winds, which, by the way, we left the tent up. That is an awesome tent. That is a tent for the 7-year tribulation period. We'll leave it up anyway. By the way, this Wednesday, we're doing it again, and we're going to have double fun. We had pony rides for last Wednesday and couldn't do it because of the bad weather. God willing, this Wednesday, the weather will be really good. So along with a bouncy house, is that what you call it, a bouncy house? Along with that, there's going to be the pony rides too. So if you've got kids or grandkids or just you see some kids along the street, just bring them. Anyway, what was I doing here? Oh, I was reading the text. If the clouds are full, they will pour out rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or the north, and they did on Friday, the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. Rains come. Storms happen. Trees get struck by lightning. Economies tank. Know that. But don't let those things, don't let those risky things cause your life to freeze. You can't be afraid of what might happen. Watch what he says. Verse 4. The one who watches the wind. Oh, no. Not good now. The one who watches the wind, he'll never sow. And the one who looks at the clouds will not reap. It's so easy when you're not, when you're afraid, when you're not a risk taker, to become an expert wind tester. No, we can't do this. No, we can't do this. You know, it's what they say in the business world. It's paralysis by analysis. We got to figure everything out before. I have to be guaranteed success, or else I'm not going to move. You're not moving. If you're waiting for the perfect mate, by the way, and you're single, if you're waiting for the perfect mate, we have a word for you. Single. If you're waiting for the perfect job, unemployed. If you're waiting for the perfect church, visitor. It's not going to happen. Don't be a wind tester all the time. Observe carefully the clouds, the trees, the storms of life. Observe them carefully, and yet be fully aware that there's a limit to what you can know. The book of Ecclesiastes isn't about anything if it's not about this riddle that's life. You cannot know if that cloud is going to burst forth in rain or not. You cannot know if that stock is going to be successful 2 years from now. You cannot know if you volunteer in one, let's say in our one of our departments here, if you're going to have the time of your life and impact lives. Only thing you can know is you can give it a shot and see what happens. Here's his way of explaining it. I'm reading from the CSB, as I said. The English standard, every translation you've got in your lap is awesome. Here, let me hear you. I want you to hear me say that. Every English translation is awesome. I choose this one because I like the way it reads. Verse 5, the English Standard Version is the one that gets it right. Just as you don't know, here's what it literally says. Just as you don't know the spirit that comes to the bones in the womb of a pregnant woman, so also you don't know the work of God who makes everything. Just as you don't know how life begins. Okay, you can study about conception and you can study about birthing classes, right? Or take birthing classes. Sue and I took those, and man, I was the most awesome coach. I just want you to know. We took those classes. You can take those classes, but you still never know how does the spirit enter the bones and that thing becomes life? You don't know. Observe carefully, but allow the mysteries of life and the mysteries of God to stay there. You're assured that there's a whole lot of stuff by lack of knowledge, by fear, by lack of certainty or understanding. Live your life. Invest your life. Observe carefully, but invest your life. Don't sit on the sidelines. That's what he's saying here. Okay. Thirdly, he's going to tell us to engage vigorously. You see, the tendency is when I'm not sure. I took our 10-year-old to the pool yesterday. We have a pool in our neighborhood. And she just jumps right in. You know, but it rained a lot on Friday. So I was afraid that that water was kind of cold. So I'm doing this. When you're not sure, and none of us are sure, that's his whole point. There's a whole lot of things you don't know. That's why he says at the end of that verse, you don't know the work of God who makes everything. So when you're not sure, what do? You tend to just dip your toe in a little bit. You tend to hedge your best bets or go just halfway. And Solomon says, don't do that. Engage vigorously. Verse 6, in the morning, sow your seed. At the evening, don't let your hands rest. Work hard. Pour yourself into it, no matter what. Even though you're not assured success, do it hard. He says, because you don't know which will succeed, whether one or the other or if both of them will be equally good. In the morning, work hard. In the evening, work hard. If you're out of work, send all kinds of resumes everywhere. Apply to multiple schools if you're going to college. Volunteer here at Trinity or at the Red Cross or wherever you want to volunteer, but spread it out and work hard. Will I be successful? I don't know. though you're not assured of success, the intensity writer is calling us to muster up the courage, the energy, the intensity, the perseverance to risk and to do what it takes to invest your life. Now watch verses 7 and 8. Work hard, yes. Risk and put yourself out there, indeed. Don't forget to enjoy the beauty of every day. Watch what he says. First you think, huh? And then you understand. Verse 7. Light is sweet. He's going to contrast it to darkness. Light is sweet. In other words, it's a metaphor for life. The light of life is sweet. The word sweet is a great word. In the book of Judges, it's used for honey. In the Song of Songs, it's used to describe a lover's kisses. In the book of Psalms, it's used to describe the word of God. Life is sweet. It's pleasing for the eyes to see the sun. Indeed, if someone lives many years, are you 30? Are you 60? Are you 80? If someone lives many years, let him rejoice in all of them. You're sensing an urgency here, an urgency not to hold back, an urgency to experience the light of life, the joy of life, of finding the gift of each day. Why? End of verse 8. Let him rejoice in all of the days. And let us remember, let him remember the days of darkness, since they will be many. The days of darkness will come. There's one thing you can be sure of, and that is your life is going to end. The days of darkness will come. That ending may have other storms that lead up to it. The days of darkness will come. Savor your marriage always. Appreciate your health as you have it. Relationships, take the risks before it's too late. Say, I love you. Say, I'm sorry. Go there with the conflict. Do it now. Do the risk, because the days of darkness will be many. What is he saying? He's saying, engage vigorously. Leave the uncertainties to God. Work hard. Invest fully. And enjoy your life while you still can. That's solid. Now let me put a Christian color to this charge. Let me fast forward ourselves to the New Testament. The Apostle Paul would say something really interesting as he's talking about sacrificing his life, loving others, bringing the gospel to people. At one point, the Apostle Paul would say, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Why does he say that? Because he is one who believes so confidently in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the certainty of death has been muted. Because death now becomes the door to heaven, to eternal life. And so the darkness of the days that are coming are colored by the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, live now. To live is Christ. Live well, live lovingly, live generously, live Christianly now. Answered. Christ would call us, who are followers of Christ, to take risks for his purposes and for his kingdom. He would tell a parable about what he called talents. Talents were a currency of money, but talents, what are yours? You've got money, but you've got time. You have your life. You have your ability, your experiences. Christ would take this story of the talents, and he would tell the story in such a way that the servants that were hardworking and risk-taking were rewarded, were praised. But the one who played it safe, the one who was cautious, he lost it all. Risk is the fear of uncertainty, even though something is uncertain. When the fear of the final darkness is taken away because of Christ and his resurrection, how do you not risk? Wisely? Christianly? In many ways, the Christian life, the Christian movement, should do nothing if not spawn a group of wise risk takers who invest their lives well and enjoy the gift of it beautifully, and who risk take wherever the kingdom of God is concerned, that the character of Christ and the grace of Christ and the kingdom of Christ can be shown everywhere. How? By risk takers who are willing to risk and display the life of Christ wherever they go. Listen to these words from 2 Corinthians. Who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion. Since God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make every grace overflow to you, so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. As it is written, he distributed freely, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Are you a risk taker? Christ risked it all that you may live, and may live forever in his glory. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I pray that the words of Solomon so many thousands of years ago could apply to our lives today. Father, I pray that these words would not just be a pep talk from Fidelity Investments, but these words could be words of grace and challenge. Challenge to receive the gift of life that you've given us and to live it well, and to receive the gift of Christ that you have given us and spend that well too. Lord, I pray for each of us as we ponder decisions, as we ponder even the use of our lives, that we may hear the words clearly, that the one who has sown generously will reap generously. May our lives be emblems of generosity everywhere we go.